Shut up, bro.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bobby, and I'm an alcoholic. Don't get me wrong. A lot of drugs were part of my story, but I found a solution in AA, and it's worked for me ever since. My sobriety date is May 20th of 2018. And yeah, I just want to welcome everybody here that's coming back or that's new, because like I hope you found some hope here, because I know I did, right? Before I had no hope. You know, I came from Calgary, and I actually showed up here through a bender, but I'll get into that. But like, I don't know how many times I tried to succeed in life or try to crush this problem that I had, but I could never prevail, right? Every single time I took like 10 steps forward, I'd take 50 steps back, over and over and over again. And you know, for a time it didn't really matter, like I just didn't care about all the chaos in my life. It seemed normal, but it came to a point where I couldn't take it anymore, and I just wanted it to stop, but it wouldn't, right? I just couldn't stop. And I don't know if anyone can relate to this, but like, I don't know how many times I'd wake up in the morning and it feel like it's a whole new life. I'm like, I'm done with all this. I'd throw out everything. You know, put all my money away. I'd clean up the place. I'd tell my parents that, like, you know, I've completely stopped everything and I'm never going to do it again. I told my girlfriend that I'm not going to do this again. And then it comes around like noon or something, and I'm feeling a bit off, and by maybe 2 o'clock, there I am scrounging up a bunch of money and getting loaded again, right? Over and over, and asking myself in the morning, why did I do this again, right? Like, how can I stop and just feel like completely defeated and alone, right? I don't know how alone I felt all the time, you know? So when I came to these rooms, it really gave me some hope, because I seen that there's a solution here. I just didn't understand it, right? You know, I was talking about like the bender kind of thing. Like I remember in Calgary, I ran everything to the ground. I had awesome business opportunities, ruined every relationship, every friendship, relationships with my parents and family. After that, I just ended up going out on this bender, ended up at a festival, and then instead of taking like a left, I like took a right to Vancouver, showed up here, started living in a car, and like found a job right away. So at least I like held the job, but like I couldn't even show up to work on time, and I was sleeping outside of the job site. Like, it was a joke. But you know, I met a couple people that were sober, and you know, they came from like a crazy background, but they explained about some sort of solution and that I was like powerless. But that just confused me more, because I used it as an excuse, right? Oh, I'm powerless. Okay, well, I've got a reason now, right? And I remember it came down to a point where I just like, it was probably about a year later, I couldn't take it anymore, and I asked to go to treatment. I asked a good friend of mine, right, who became my first sponsor, and brought me to treatment. And that's where like I really fell in love with like the idea of recovery, because I knew that I could stay happy here, this actually works. But I did not understand it, right? I was so confused. And I see that a lot too, right? Is that we get confused and then we go back on drinking because we don't understand it. Or if we do understand it, we don't apply it, right? But this lasted for a bit, and I just didn't get it. I mean, I had some things coming up, like some court stuff, and I was a little nervous about it. And it just came to a point though, I couldn't take it anymore, and I needed to get sober. I knew the solution was in the steps, but I didn't understand it. You know, I reached out to somebody, and he helped take me through. You know, we skipped steps 1 and 2 because he thought I already understood it, and then went right to step 3. For some reason, I stayed sober, but I couldn't stay sober for 20 minutes on my own before that. I don't know how many times I'd come home and be like, I almost made it today, and then bam. And then like at work, okay, I can't stay sober, because I can't deal with myself sober at all, right? That's like that unhappiness. And like, we talk about this like spiritual malady, that we're like always either like restless or irritable or discontent, and that comes out in so many forms, like anger and depression, anxiety, worry, fear, loneliness, right? But I'm always unhappy, right? But I ended up, I was sober for a couple months, and I was going crazy, absolutely nuts, going to like 7 meetings a week, working 10-hour shifts, you know, working on step work, like on the bus. I had like a step 4 this big, and I'm like, I'm just going crazy, you know, losing it at people at work and then trying to make amends. I don't even understand it, but I just did not want to drink again or go out and use drugs. I just didn't want this anymore, right? I ended up going to this like meeting. So I went to court. It got adjourned. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm probably not going to jail, or at least for the meantime. And I decided to go to North Vancouver and end up hearing about this meeting on a beach. And I went to this beach meeting and met this guy that was like super loud, really happy, and talked about the 12 steps. And it blew me away, right? I remember calling him the next day, and he told me something about 12 steps in 12 hours. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's just doesn't make sense. But he's been doing it for 30 years, helping people out all over the world. I was like, might as well try it, right? Let's do it. And his name is Right On Ron. And now that guy's my sponsor today. He's a really good friend of mine. And I'll tell you, like, from then on, things changed. Like, I remember waking up the next morning. I was like getting up at 5 in the morning. Okay, we're going to do 12 steps in 12 hours this whole day. Let's go. Started, did steps 1, 2, and 3. Started my 4, finished the 4. And he's like, okay, I'll see you Friday. And I was like, what? It was like Monday. But continued through it because I just didn't want anything else but to get sober. And not even just be sober, but be happy, right? Like, I've been sober before and I wasn't happy. Like, what kind of life is that, right? But it says that, like, we absolutely insist on enjoying life in the book, right? It actually says that. So, you know, and I'll tell you today, I've got a great life today. Like, I'm happy. I used to be the most angry person ever. Now I got like little business cards to help people with the steps with like hearts on them and stuff. It's whatever, right? Like, I love my life today, and that's good. But, you know, I finished these steps, and my life started changing right away. But that's from like applying it every day. And then I ended up going to that court date for everything that I had going on. And instead of them sending me out to Edmonton for some jail time for like 3 years, I ended up getting house arrest for like 6 months and an 18-month sentence. So it was some other stuff, but I'll tell you, it was like the best time of my life because I started helping people with the steps right away. Like, and that's the thing, is when we get this and we're sober, it's pretty selfish to hold on to it. And the best way we can do is give it away, right? Like it says, nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking or using drugs. I don't care. It's the same thing. As intensive work with other alcoholics. And I'm saying intensive, like not just one every year, like every once in a while. Like let's work with people all the time. I'm going to offer the steps to as many people as I can. And I do today and I love it, right? But like things just kept getting better, and that's the truth. Is, you know, like today, sure, problems can happen, but we get solutions and ways to deal with them. Because as an alcoholic or an addict, we have so many problems pile up in our heads that we don't know how to deal with them. So remember when I was talking about, like, and I want to get into the steps a bit, because that's really what it's about, is like I was talking about getting up in the morning and telling myself I'm going to stop, throwing everything out, and then by like 2 o'clock or something, I'm already drunk and like off to meet a dealer or something, is because I always thought the problem was the drugs or the alcohol, and if I got rid of it, I'd be fine. But it's not, because it says that the main problem of the alcoholic or the addict centers in his mind rather than his body. So the main problem had to do with my thinking. My thinking always took me to that drink or drug every single time. The alcohol and the drugs were only a symptom, right? But it was always my thinking. And in general, when I'm stuck in my head, I'm in the problem. Like, and you know what? Like about 97% of the whole world is always in our head, right? And when, you know, when we're sitting around, we're just thinking and thinking and thinking, it's not a good place to be. I'm gonna lie to myself all the time. All the stuff I'm gonna tell myself is lies, when the truth is always coming from within, right? But like, there's also this warning that we get right before we even start thinking, and that's that spiritual malady that I was talking about, that restless, irritable discontent, right? We're getting angry, you know, I'm feeling unhappy, and then boom, I start thinking. and we have those symptoms, like that obsession of the mind, where I'm going to get this idea that I can control and enjoy it, right? Like, I'm going to get a six pack, I'm going to pick up a half gram, I'm going to make it to work tomorrow, it's going to be a great time, right?
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely not. Because as soon as I start, I just can't stop, right? I absolutely can't stop. And I have that allergy that as soon as I start, I can't stop, and I get a phenomenon of craving that I want more and more and more and more. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling restless, irritable, discontent again. I'm full of all this guilt and shame and anger. And I'm like, what is going on, right? And it keeps going in an endless loop, right? So it does say that, like, if I always got this problem, I'm in my head, I'm always restless, irritable, discontent, what am I supposed to do? Especially for a guy that, like, can't stop drinking, but I just want to stop, what am I supposed to do, right? And the main, it says in the book that the main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. So I need a solution, but it's a power greater than myself, and I don't care what that power is, doesn't matter, but it has to be a power greater than ourselves. But it also, like, what I think and know is actually so important is where it is, right? Because it says that the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that the Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous, right? And deep down inside, every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. So there's been something that's been within me the whole time, right? Like, when we talk with, like, Dr. Silkworth, he talks a bit about, like, we can't differentiate the truth from the false. Right, I'm always listening to the false in my head when the truth is here the whole time, right? My heart has never told me to drink. It's always been my head. You know that feeling we get and we're like, oh, we shouldn't do this. We know it's right or wrong, but we don't listen to it, right? So I need that solution. I need a solution that is greater than myself, but the whole time it's been within me, right? And that's amazing to me. That blew me away, because no longer do I have to rely upon drugs or alcohol. No longer do I have to rely upon the rooms to keep me sober, because they won't. I don't have to rely upon a sponsor to keep me sober. I just rely upon God. And I don't care what God is, but it's right inside you. That's the amazing thing here, right? So if we have this God that's within us, and we get to, like, step three, and it says that made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. But I need, if I know where God is, I can listen to that every day. And if I'm living in my heart, I'm going to be living in God's will every day, because that's where God is, right? But if I don't, I'm still stuck in that can't differentiate the truth or the false, right? Because I have this willingness that I want to turn it over, and then I start thinking again, right? And then I'm back in the problem. Things pull me back out of my heart, back into my head. I'm feeling restless, irritable, discontent again, and then I go back out drinking, and I wonder why I ended up in the same place again, right? But, like, that's why we have that, like, step four, where we have these, like, resentments, these fears, sex stuff, and harms, right? Because I'll tell you that, like, just knowing about where God is and trying to make a decision to live in our heart every day, that we won't stay sober. Because, like, I'm going to walk down the street, or I'm going to get on the bus, and I'm going to see somebody, and I'm going to judge him. I'm going to be like, look at this loser or something. And then that's going to get me out of my heart, back into my head, and there it goes again. Why did I do this again? Right? So I need to deal with these resentments, and I need to understand why. And, like, when we, like, I go through the steps, like, we only have 15 people we put down, right? And I'll get into a reason why we do that, right? The reason being is you will have the names, and of course the causes. Oh, this person, like Bobby here, you know, he's happy, he's sober, I don't like him. That's it. Okay, he affects my self-esteem, personal relationship with him, whatever. So we underline those things. But then we get into the important stuff, right? The stuff that actually matters. And the thing is that I'm either selfish, I'm dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, all four. And I'll tell you, I ask people, the first thing I'll ask them is, like, is being frightened a mistake? And usually they'll answer no, right? But then I'll ask them, is selfish a mistake? Yes. Self-seeking, yes. Dishonest, yes. And being frightened actually is a mistake, because I'm going to blame people. I've been blaming people my whole life because I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. And then I react to them, right? So how I'm going to react, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to try to manipulate you. I feel insecure, right? And then I get this resentment because I've been blaming you. And then the way that I react, when really it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me and how I've been blaming you my whole life and other people and the way that I've reacted to people, right? That's it. That's it and that's all. It has nothing to do, like, say a parking meter, right? I go to a parking meter, I'm like, damn parking meter, keeps giving me tickets, right? And then I kick in the parking meter. Like, that doesn't make sense, right? But this goes in the same idea as a person, right? But this damn parking meter keeps giving me tickets. Here I'm blaming it, right? Because I'm self-seeking. I don't want to spend any money. I'm selfish, right? I'm dishonest because I'm just parking and not spending any money and parking in a stall, right? But then how am I reacting to it? I'm getting angry, right? And does it, this resentment have anything to do with that parking meter? Absolutely not. It has to do with me, right? How I'm blaming it and reacting to it, right? And then we get into the fears, right? And we have fears, of course, but these fears, no matter what they are, we need to know about how to get out of it, right? Because sure, like, we need to pray about it, like, ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he may have us be, but direct our attention towards some sort of action, right? I actually need an action. Like, I have a, say, a fear of, like, intimacy or whatever. Well, we need to actually communicate, right? We need to communicate and feel comfortable. We need to actually apply action, right? And, like, God will help us with that. And, like, I know I'm mentioning a lot about God, right? But it's not like I'm not religious or anything, but again, it's just something that's, like, I know that's out there, or in turn, it's actually inside of us, right? And I don't know, it works, right? But so we need some sort of action, though, to remove these fears. And then when it comes to, like, sex, and I'll tell you, like, everyone of us, 100%, like, through addiction or alcoholism, we've, like, had, I don't know, one alcoholic or addict that's had, like, a great relationship in active addiction. Absolutely not. Like, every single relationship was just a shit show, right? And I'd be blaming them for sure. But, like, that's, again, because we're, like, selfish and self-seeking to the core, right? But the main thing that happens is what we need to learn about is what should we have done instead and apply these things today, right? Like, these things, say, in a relationship go around, like, respect and, like, honesty, communication, compromising and feeling comfortable, right? Say, I don't care if, like, even, like, one-night stands, like, at least communicate and feel comfortable, right? Be honest with them, like, okay, you cool with this? Like, not like before where we used to, like, go out and, like, just ruin people's lives through, like, sex and then be selfish about it. And because what it'll tell us is that if we continue to harm people this way, that we are actually quite sure to drink. But if we let, like, God take us to better things and we're honestly sorry about it, we believe that we'll be forgiven, right? And that's the truth. I don't know, like, that kind of way of life, like, that will screw us over 100%. So it matters on what should we have done instead, right? And then we have that harms, like, I don't know if anybody here has harmed anybody in their life, but, like, we need to this list so we can walk free someday, right? And so that'll get us through our step four, and that's what I want to teach you, like, in the step five, is these solutions, right? Like, the resentments have nothing to do with other people, right? It has to do with me and how I've been blaming people my whole life and the way I reacted, right? So today, if I get a resentment, I can remind myself, wait, this has to do it with me, and how am I reacting to this right now, right? I may not have to agree with everything, but it's how I react to it, and I can't keep blaming people for, say, things that have been done to me in the past, because I can't. It just doesn't make sense. It's how I'm going to react to it today, right? The fears, that I have a solution, that's some sort of action, sex, what should I have done instead? These are the things I want to learn through a step five, so the next day I'm not getting a resentment because I have no clue why I'm getting it again. Sure, I can spill it all on the table, but I want to know why I'm getting it, right? But then we get into step six, right? We have these defects of character, right? And these things come out through our step five, right? The way I'll do it is we'll have this, like, defects list sheet, and the whole time going through the step five, we look at every way that we've reacted through all the resentments and the sex, and then we tick it off, so we get our defects through our step five, our main eight defects, right? And then I'm gonna have these defects, and now I think and I know about these defects of character, because before, I used to be acting out on these things oblivious, right? I'd judge you, I'd get angry, I'd manipulate people, but I had no clue that I was even doing it. I didn't even care, right? But now we actually think and we know about our defects, right? But we don't want to be there. We actually want to be in, like, step seven, where, like, with God's help and a new action, like an actual action, it can be removed. So instead of judging you, I can be understanding, right? Instead of getting angry, I can react with love, right? And these are the things, like, step seven is so important today, because if I keep reacting in these defects of character, there I go, back in my head, out of my heart, getting restless, irritable, discontent again, and before you know it, I'm so spiritually damaged, I go back out drinking again and using drugs. How did it happen again, right? And this is why we have this, like, daily thing, right? Like, when we understand this stuff, why would we not want to apply it? Like, I don't know how much suffering we've had in our lives to, like, not want to live this way anymore, right? Like, we all deserve a good life. That's the truth, and we all can have it. You know, most people that are, like, alcoholics or addicts have, like, are really smart people. Like, really smart, successful people, but we've been dealing with so much bullshit through our lives that it's just unimaginable, but it's all self-created, right? So, after step seven, we get into step eight. We made that list of people we've harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Well, I made that list back of my step four harm, so it's already done. But by now, I may have some more people to add, right? Countless numbers of people I've harmed in my life. But then we get into step nine, and we make amends to these people however possible. But I'm going to tell you one of the most important thing about step nine is that I've harmed myself more than anybody. Like, so bad, so spiritually damaged myself, that, like, how can I go out to you and say I was wrong if I can't even forgive and love myself first, right? It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And, like, that's why, like, we'll have this, like, step nine thing, and it's a daily thing for ourselves. Like, it'll come with, like, 40 things, actually. It's, like, the first 10 things are going to be these solutions for your fears. The next five are going to be solution for sex. And then the rest of them are going to be, like, call a sponsor a couple times a week, go to 3 meetings a week, you know, live in steps 2, 3, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12 every day, study the steps, eat healthy, exercise, like, things that we can do every day to, like, actually love ourselves, right? Maybe seek some outside help, right? Because there's a lot of damage, say, done in, like, childhoods or whatever, right? Like, we need to actually deal with these things so we can learn to love ourselves today, right? And that's what the steps are actually about, is, like, getting out of our head, back into our heart, and loving ourselves first and then others, right? I got to learn how to love myself. It, like, in these rooms, like, I'm actually the most important person, because if I can't love myself, how can I help anybody else? I can't. I absolutely can't, right? So this is why step nine is so important to yourself every single day. But then we can go out and make those amends to other people, right? I can go out to people and say I was wrong, or I can try to fix these things spiritually in a way that's not going to hurt them or others, or even myself in turn, right? But I gotta fix it spiritually, and it has to get fixed some way, right? And so then we have step 10, right? Which is done all through the day, every single day. And it's just, it's five things that we're gonna do, right? Is we're gonna continually look out for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and being afraid. Number two is ask God at once to remove them. Number three is call somebody immediately or tell somebody immediately. And a lot of people won't do that one. And then these things start cropping up. Those resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. They're like our core defects of character. And from those stem everything. So I'm getting resentful. And then I'm not dealing with it by later on at night. I'm getting angry. I'm feeling self-pity. I'm selfish. Then I start... feeling guilty about it. And before you know it, it's blown up into like 20 other defects of character, and I don't know how to deal with it, right? This is why we have that step 10, so we can deal with it. Because I know for myself that I have to deal with my problems right away, right? I want to walk free today, right? I don't want to have to deal with all this crap built up back in the problem again. And then the next day, wake up, feel like garbage because I haven't dealt with anything, right? But that's why we have our step 10 through the day. And then the next thing, number four, is we're going to make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. And then number five, continually or resolutely turn our thoughts to somebody we can help, right? Because I'm constantly thinking about myself. I got to think about somebody else, right? I got to actually think about what I can push forward to this world. And then the truth is we actually have a code, right? We have a code in AA, and it's love and tolerance, right? Love and tolerance is actually our code. We can live by that, right? And what we get is a daily reprieve contingent, so only occurring on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So I need to be doing this all throughout the day. But it's actually a gift. Like, this is a gift that was given to me. And what do we do with a gift? Like, we cherish it, right? Like, I know I used to throw away my gifts, but today I'm definitely not, right? I'm gonna hold on to this and I'm gonna cherish it, right? So then we get to step 11, right? And that's like praying, so talking to God, and then meditation, which is just listening to God. And if God's in my heart, I'm just gonna listen to my heart. Right? But we have our When I Retire at Night and the On Awakening, right? But what I'll tell you is, like, the most important, like, On Awakening is very important, but, like, at night is so important, because there's things that I'm going to miss through that step 10. You know, I'm going to have to, when I retire at night, it's going to ask me these questions that I'm going to go through, and it's going to help me deal with all my problems right away, right? So I'm actually running through all the steps at night and making sure that nothing has came up. I haven't caused any harm. You know, I get to deal with these problems right away, right? And I can make a note of it and deal with it the next day, right? I have to deal with these. But this is why step 11 at night is so important, right? And then we have that On Awakening, and we go through our On Awakening. It helps us get out of our head right in the morning, back into our heart. But then we'll have, like, it says during the day, like, as I go through the day, say, like, we get restless, irritable, discontent, we get agitated, or we get doubtful, we pause, right? Like, I get to pause. And I don't know how many times I've used this in my life today. Like, I work construction, I'm a concrete form worker, I'm working out on, like, Anasis Island right now. But, like, sure, like, any kind of job, like, will get stressful, right? But I gotta pause and remind myself, like, I'm not running my own self-will, like, riot anymore, right? I have to remind myself, but I just need to pause. That's something that helps so much today, right? So that breaks down step 11, and then we have step 12, and that's just living in these steps every day and helping others with the steps. Like, you know, I've been helping people since I was, like, 2 months sober, and it's been an amazing way to live. Like, I'm only, I guess, like, 15 months sober today, but, like, what's worked for me is working with so many people. Like, today I've got to work with, like, over 60, 70 alcoholics and addicts, right? And that's amazing through the steps, right? People in different countries, people all over Canada, even over the phone, right? And it helps me. It helps me more than anything, but it gives me, like, a life that, like, I'm so happy, right? Because, like, to see somebody, like, come from such a broken state, right, where I was exactly at, and to see them recover, and that's what we get here. We get to recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And remember, the main problem is our thinking, so we need to get out of that thinking, right? So if we recover from that thinking, we get into our hearts, then, like, why would I not want to help another person out with this, right? Because I'll see people recover, and then they start helping other people, and they're living this great life. That's amazing to me. That's, like, the biggest gift I can get, right? But, you know, it's, like, I didn't think that I'd have this life today and, like, truly be happy. And, like, again, you know, sure, problems do come up, but I know how to deal with them today. And, like, why would I want to stop this stuff? It actually is very simple, because I don't know how long I was confused about this till it was explained so simply and to a way that I could apply to my life, right? You know, we live in, like, steps 2, 3, step 7, 9, 10, 11, 12 every day, but they're very simple things to do, right? And again, just give it to others, right? But yeah, I don't know. I've got a good life today. You know, I'm not, like, rich or anything, and but I'm happy, right? I'm peaceful and content, right? I'm not angry all the time anymore. I'm not getting into tons of trouble anymore. I'm not even getting into trouble anymore. It's amazing, right? Like, I still got conditions, but my, like, PO allowed me to go out and see my family this weekend, so they let me, like, he let me drive out to Calgary. It was amazing to see my family. I showed up there, like, surprised my mom, gave her flowers and stuff, because something was happening with my sister. So my mom's going through a rough time, but showing up and, like, being part of my family is a huge part of my life today. When they just shut me out, like, I was always that black sheep, right? I got two stepbrothers and a sister, and, like, I was the kid that, like, I remember they stashed a jar of money in my sister's room, and there's, like, a camera set up, and my sister's like, don't touch it. Like, just don't touch it. And she wouldn't tell me why, but I was like, yeah, sure, bud. Go in there, right? Take a couple hundreds, and there we go, right? Just, like, always screwing up. Every family vacation screwed up everything. But now I'm, like, you know, closer to my stepdad than ever, closer to my dad than ever. He actually even ended up joining AA. I don't even know if he's an alcoholic, but he loves it, right? That's the truth. But, like, you know, I'm so close to my family today, and, like, I've got great people in my life, and, like, most importantly, like, I love myself, right? Not, like, narcissistically, but, like, I'm proud of myself today. I can remind myself that every morning. Like, I can wake up and actually be proud of myself today. And this is all through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a very simple process, but we have to keep living this every day, right? I can't just stop, because, you know, as soon as I start deciding, okay, you know what, I'm gonna leave this alone and maybe I'm too lazy to do this. You know, things start happening and we get, start getting those problems pile up again, right? So don't sell yourself short of an amazing life, and reach out to somebody that knows what they're talking about and get into this work. Because, you know, if you're suffering from this like illness that I know I am and have suffered from for a very long time, then the only solution is a spiritual solution, right? I've tried every other way. I don't know if you guys have, but I definitely have, and every single time it failed, right? And I've got something today that like has made me very happy. So that's about it, and thanks for letting me speak.
Thank you. Thanks, Bobby. Thanks, Bobby.